Elder Philip Howell, been a while since he's been here. We're happy that he's come our way for this meeting. He's pastor at Harmony Church in Barwick, Georgia. So please be in prayer for Elder Philip Howell.
Brother Clayton threw me a curveball because, you know, us preachers kind of have a way of kind of figuring out their preaching order. And when he called on me to bless the supper tonight, I just knew I was off the hook. Certainly a great blessing to be with you and to enjoy the fellowship with so many that I've been able to be with before and many that I've met for the first time. It's been a beautiful day, and certainly the singing has been truly anointed. And I count it a tremendous blessing to be here. I'd like to read a couple of verses to you from the book of 1 Peter. Beginning with the 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning with the 14th verse. But if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. As any of these preachers will tell you, when we're anticipating coming to before God's people, whether it's in a meeting like this or our home church, we try to give ourselves to study and to meditation. And for me, there's been no exception to that this week, but sometimes and oftentimes, these brethren will tell you that as you're studying and meditating, something just kind of comes together and you have peace and comfort that the Lord is opening something up to you. Over the last several days, I've studied various topics, and while those studies were fruitful, I never felt really a peace that this is what the Lord would have me to speak on. And I was preparing this morning, I thought of this verse, this expression we've you so much among our people, be ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you. This evening, I'm not going to try to go into any great discourse because I don't have a lot of material prepared and certainly not want to take up too much time with the other brethren coming after me. I'd like to talk to you about and share my hope. The hope that is within me. A hope that I believe is a true hope. A hope that the songwriter says that is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. From early childhood, I've been able, blessed many times, to hear wonderful messages of hope. I can remember Brother Ronald Lawrence preaching our annual meeting back in the 80s when I was in my 20s, and he, among others, have preached wonderful messages that brought hope. I believe we ought to always be able to answer the question, what is your hope? Why do you trust in the God of the Bible? Why do you believe this Jehovah is the living God? Why do you believe this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is the Son of the living God? That's all answers we should always be ready to give. give an questions we should always be willing and ready to give an answer to. The hope that's within me is based on, first, as Paul would write to the Romans, based upon my view and what I've seen in God's wondrous creation. When I was a young man, I studied microbiology under a professor who was called himself an agnostic. I think he was probably actually an atheist. But I always enjoyed anything that dealt with genetics and things of that sort. And as I studied those things, how that God, in His infinite wisdom, built the single cell. You know, we're made of billions of cells in our bodies that do all sorts of wondrous things. But, you know, there are single-celled organisms, the largest population of creatures within the earth have a single cell. But within that cell, there's a DNA which is made up of many strings of amino acids. And as this professor began to lay these things out and show the complication and the great, I believe, design of God's creation of life, I rejoiced and seeing God's handiwork in the creation of life. And then that professor had to share with us how he believed that life came about. And it amounted to the fact that as the earth was cooling, that there was pools of which somehow these amino acids just naturally formed and began to fall in a certain order, and a bolt of lightning struck down from the heavens, and there became life. And from that single organism, you and I sit here this morning. Talk about a leap of faith. My hope is built on something much greater than that. I believe in the God that created the single cell organism. I believe in the God that made the whales. I believe in the God that made the mammoths. I believe in the God that describes all those creatures. Some of them we understand and some of them we don't over there in Job. But they're wonderful creations. I love to go to the mountains and see God's creation of the beauty of the hilltops. And the rolling hills and the trees and the changing of the seasons and the beauty of the leaves. One of the most beautiful things in nature that I see this time of year, and I think we often take it for granted, is the red bird, the cardinal. You know, I'm convinced that God loves beauty. He loved creating beautiful things. He loved making the mockingbird that warms our hearts this time of year. How can something be an accident that has so much beauty and so much to give us each and every day? See, my hope is based on a God that I can see in creation. But I also believe, declaring to you, my hope is based on the God that has given us His full revelation. The Holy Scriptures. My hope is built on the fact that this book is inerrant. My faith is based upon the fact that not only do I see, I'm told that it's inerrant, I have found in my experience that it's always inerrant. Some say, oh, well, there's errors in there. I haven't found them. what I have found is every time my life experience shows me or comes in, if you will, into parallel with something in the Scripture, when I see someone that's described over there in the book of Proverbs, it always turns out to be just the way the Scriptures teach it. When you see someone who's continuously proud, you can guarantee they're headed for a fall. It never fails. You see someone that's lofty, and you'll see that they're brought down. You see those that are that humble, that are fear of the Lord, that will be exalted. Maybe not in the way that the world would exalt them, but God has a way of giving them, if you will, a crown of life. Having lived the faith, I can each and every time I go into the God's Word and find something, I find it to always be true to my experience. The Lord Himself said that. He said, "Marvel not that the world hates you, for it hated me." We look around us, and it's always so very evident today that the world hates us. The world hates Christianity. I mean, you can be a Buddhist, and they won't hate you. You can be a Muslim, and they surely won't hate you. You can be whatever you want outside of being a Christian, and the world will not hate you. But if you're a Christian, they will. But if they don't hate you for your sake, they hate you for Christ's sake, because He's who they hate. That strengthens my faith. When the world says all manner of things against good men falsely, when the world calls good evil and evil good, I know that God's Word has already told me that's what they're going to say. That's my experience. And my experience tells me that God's Word is always true. But I have a hope that's built on something that the eye cannot see. When I read, the Lord said that He's going to send another comforter. And He's going to live, He is going to live. Holy Spirit's not yet as a He. He's going to dwell within you. He's going to teach you. He's going to enlighten you. He's going to open up my words unto you. He's going to feed you. He's going to comfort you. And in my experience, that's been my experience. That the Holy Spirit is there for me when I look into God's Word. You know, I used to think this was the most mysterious book on earth. I believe when you're looking at it through the eye of faith, that there's nothing more clear than the revelation of God's Word. God doesn't want us to look at the Scriptures as some great mystery. God, it's what God has revealed to us. Yes, there are things that were mysteries in the past. Paul speaks of the mystery of godliness. That is the mystery of the deity of Jesus Christ, of God being revealed and God dwelling in the flesh as a man. You know, my human nature, that's something of a mystery, but it's a revealed mystery. And the deity and the glory of Christ, the crucifixion and the substitutional atonement of Jesus Christ. Those things were a mystery in times past. Yeah, we can look back at Abraham and we can see the God testing Abraham and the beautiful picture that's painted there of the substitutional atonement, of how God substituted himself. Abraham would say unto Isaac, God will provide himself a lamb. And when, of course, we see when Jesus came down to the River Jordan to be baptized by John. John declared, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. I tell you, there's where my hope is based. On a God that lives not only in the vastness of his creation, but he lives within my heart. There was a time when my experience is different than others. There was a time when old Baptists required that you be able to get up and declare experience. when you were born again. But, you know, I can't remember a time when God was not real to me. And I've had others tell me that was their experience. I can remember the first time sitting in a pew in Harmony Church back in 1970 that I began to feel a great warmth and a great excitement of the preaching of the gospel. I can tell you when that happened. There was a change that came somewhere in time, but I can't tell you when it was. But that's the hope that's within me. That's the hope I share with you this night. And I know that each and every one of you that have come here to rejoice and to hear the gospel and to be able to, and believe the wondrous truths of salvation by grace. I know that you have a story to tell. I know that you have a hope that you can share. And we ought to always be prepared to share it with anyone who asks. I thank you for your attention.
Number 197.